website.
There's no hurry.
Fuck.
Hello.
Do you have a place to be?
Nope. Hello, we are the Brothers Geek.
Do you have somewhere else to be rather than right here?
You gotta go home.
We're live.
Your daughters.
We're live right now.
Halloween
no, I'm not.
Yes,
I don't touch a single Halloween decoration.
I asked them to be a little louder, and then they started yelling. So that's how this family works.
I am
not
doing
yelling.
None of that.
Nope.
And you but obviously you're in a hurry, so you have somewhere
to
be.
Nowhere
to
be.
Are you putting up Halloween decorations in your apartment?
Absolutely not.
Why not?
Because I
detest Halloween.
What
by
you,
the way,
what?
I love Halloween. I don't care.
I don't like Halloween.
Who are we? What?
We are the
are
Brothers
you,
Geek. And this
you,
is our podcast.
Are you
I'm Patrick
sitting here?
Schmaltz. This is Christopher Schmaltz.
Hello.
And that's Andrew Schmaltz.
That's me.
We're recording this together in
yes,
Phoenix, Arizona.
We are.
We're
it's
all
fantastic.
In the same room.
It's amazing.
Tell the
of
Patrick
modern
has a tale. Tell
travel.
The tale.
That you can
What's
get on a plane
so
in
finally,
place A and arrive in place B,
B.
hours later.
Uh-huh.
I
work at a place like that.
Amazing.
Wow.
Yeah. Cool.
I got done working on a show and decided to take some vacation. I decided to fly home and see my family.
After a long stretch of working on shows.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Things, right?
Yeah, it's
so,
a long
well,
stretch.
The
so.
Other part to that tale is... You surprised our parents.
I did not tell my mother I was coming.
You didn't tell your father either.
I told my parents. I did not
tell
my parents.
Yeah. I was going to
say. I told my brothers.
Yeah.
And Brianna.
Which I got shit for, I have to tell you. Because
why?
Susan wasn't in the loop.
Oh, why didn't I?
I thought she was in the loop.
You group texted.
But
I,
you only
Susan might not
Susan?
Have been on that group.
Susan was not in that group.
That's a facepalm.
So,
that is a Patrick
But
facepalm.
No. But you don't get any of that.
Oh,
I got
goes
it.
To Christopher.
So Susan
because
had no idea.
No idea. And then when Mom confronted her about why didn't you say something and blah blah blah, it was a secret. Susan was in the position of I had no idea,
nice.
So she was very irritated.
And Susan
well,
likes to be in the know.
Very irritated at me.
Yep.
So I screwed up.
That.
That's cool.
No, I screwed up.
He needs to tell his wife things.
Yes.
Honestly,
yes.
I think that's an ongoing theme in their relationship.
Oh no!
Anyway, we're not gonna do that
no,
on
we're
this
not.
Podcast.
no,
so
it's not.
So I didn't even realize this was gonna happen. We didn't plan this. I wish we had planned this better. This is episode number 80, boys.
This is
Fantastic.
80. It's a nice round number, and we're recording
live.
We made it to 80.
If you have listened to every episode, we love you. Thank you for listening so much.
Seriously.
I mean, 80 episodes. This has been a lot of fun. We do this just because we're brothers and we love each other. And we talk about geeky
weird
stuff. And this
stuff.
Is great.
Yeah, no, that's exactly
right. It gives
right.
us an excuse.
You
to,
have the gear.
But if you get any enjoyment out of listening to us, we thank you. We
thank you.
Thank you for
thank
listening.
You
like
much.
Us. Like us on
Give
iTunes.
Us a review. Yeah.
Hit
Give
us
a
up
review.
On the Facebook or yeah. our website
Send us
or
email
Twitter.
Saying,
do the Google. And
you
find
out there,
us.
You know how to use the Google machine.
You knew how to use the Google, so you need to just hit us up.
Yep.
Please do.
It's September 30th, by the way.
It's
We're
September
recording this
30th.
September 30th.
Yes.
So we have a few things to talk about, but we have a lot of other Scene Red Play to talk
we've
about.
We've been doing
so
stuff.
We've been
doing
stuff.
And watching
together.
Stuff.
So the quick news that we have is J.J. Abrams was added to episode 9.
It
has no title.
Star Wars Disarray.
Disarray.
Who is the original
Is there
director?
Disarray?
All right. The original,
or is there a plan?
Is there, that's a good question. So Colin Trevorrow, who was the director of Jurassic World, which
right.
was released to nearly universal acclaim.
Quality,
and
quality film.
It made like $1 billion.
It made a ton
film.
Of money. It was mm-hmm. had all the nostalgia and all the fun of mm-hmm. the original. Mm-hmm. So they were like, Colin Trevorrow,
here's the main,
he should do
no,
episode
here's
9.
Here's a key point with regard to that.
Yeah,
here's
bring
a key point.
It. What do you got?
Clearly, that movie was its own thing,
mm-hmm.
but it contained wonderful references
yes.
to the original Jurassic Park.
Correct.
So there was a it wasn't sort of ham-handed.
Nope.
It did a nice job of paying homage and referring to the original
yep.
movie.
Yep.
But also made its own thing, right?
And
so that seems to translate perfectly
to
Star
Wars.
Wars. Right.
Yes.
So we don't is there any news about why he got fired? Is
well, they're
any...
still in pre-production on episode 9. They haven't an inch of film.
Maybe they just didn't see eye to eye or something.
Kathleen Kennedy is in charge of Lucasfilm. She is in charge of the Lucasfilm Story Group, which is shepherding all of these Star Wars films, you know, the main new trilogy and also the planned anthology films. I mean, side note to all of this is they're making a Han Solo anthology film, and they fired both directors like a month into production.
And now it's
and replaced him
Ron
with Ron Howard.
Yeah,
the safest pick
possible.
Possible.
Yeah. The scuttlebutt on the Han Solo project was the two directors that were involved were making it too funny, like they were going more towards a comedy angle.
Right.
And whether or not that jived with what the Lucasfilm Story Group wanted out of that particular film, we'll only know when we see the cut that comes out in the theaters. That'll be a piece of lore that'll exist associated with
It's an interesting choice with regard to Han Solo, because he's a mixed bag as a character, because when we first meet him, he is...
He shoots first.
Right. That's exactly right.
It's exactly right.
We have been saying that from...
Day one.
Episode one.
Well, it's tough, too, because, like, over the course of... Episode 4, A New Hope, he learns redemption.
Well, the original cut that came out in 1977,
he chooses to leave and come back because he badly wants to weigh in on this. But he has the redemption story arc.
He grows as a character.
Right.
For sure.
But you have to start the character as being the scoundrel in this one. Or seeing how he becomes
the scoundrel.
It will
be interesting to see what story they tell. It can't simply Han Solo grows up and gets the Millennium Falcon. You have to have more investment than just, we need him to meet Chewie. We need him to, you know, have a card game with Lando. We need him to run the Kessel Run. It's got to be more than just plot points.
And
we're not going to care, right?
You love to make the point about Han Solo shooting first is like a great sign of like how he's a scoundrel, but like throughout the course of that movie
he's pragmatic.
He's
not evil.
Right.
He's pragmatic.
But like he doesn't want to risk his life to save the princess unless it has personal gain.
Yes.
He doesn't want to he wants to just get out of the situation. He's just transporting a couple of dudes to a planet.
He's doing a job.
And he's gotten caught up in this.
Yes.
You know.
And it's a means to an end. Because if he gets a big payday, he can pay off Jabba.
But exactly. Right.
Okay, so we're off the track a little bit because we started talking about episode 9.
Sure.
This all feeds into this.
He's not a humorous character.
He's not a humorous character.
So
exactly.
if the director's reviewing him as sort of the Mal from Firefly type.
Who isn't even that funny, honestly.
Right? There's a dark, deep side to Mal in Firefly. If
we were watching Serenity, part of Serenity.
There's a darkness in Mal.
He is a violent guy.
Yeah.
He has that in him.
Right.
Well,
so,
like, even Joss Whedon wrote him to... He shoots three unarmed dudes
in the movie.
And he talks about that on the commentary. It's like, this is... Like, he shoots unarmed people.
Yeah.
Like, he's not a hero.
He's not. I'm not going to shoot you in the leg and run away from you. I'm going to blow your ass away and get out of here.
What they have in common, clearly built upon the Han Solo type, is pragmatism.
Exactly. So, episode 9, we know that Colin Trevorrow, they were in pre-production. He was replaced. He was fired. They hadn't announced who was replacing him, and it went on for a few days. There was speculation everywhere. I even tweeted about the fact that I would have loved to have seen Catherine Bigelow, who directed...
I agree with that. She
directed Point Break.
That's a little more of a risk.
That's very risky. I wanted a risk.
Yeah.
But...
Well, a lot of people are saying that J.J. Abrams is safe, and there's been some Star Wars fans who are not necessarily happy with The Force Awakens that are disappointed with this choice. I mean, I was fine with it, but I have problems with Force Awakens.
It's not a perfect film.
But, you
by
know,
any means.
So are we happy with this?
Force Awakens did exactly what it needed it to do.
Mm.
It needed to reinvigorate interest and fan, you know,
but it
love
was very safe. Like
it was very safe, but
yeah.
We could do hours on how The Force Awakens is actually very different from A New Hope, and how Rey is not the same character as Luke Skywalker, and how
that's a whole podcast.
We could do hours on
it.
We're not going to do that.
We will do that
in December.
I'm being a little bit devil's advocate because I do like A Force Awakens, but I have read articles online about fans
trying
to get him to get removed.
Too bad.
You know,
guys, J.J. Abrams is going to direct episode 9.
But,
suck it up.
But here's the thing. What gives me hope is I remember the commentary, it was a while back, where there were comments with regard to the scripts for episode 8 and episode 9, and I distinctly remember reading Abrams' reaction to episode 9 was that it was, he gushed about 8.
Gushed.
And about he Ryan said, Johnson's he scripts. Said 9 is better.
Yep. His first
and so Abrams is more than he's an excellent director, and with an outstanding script, it's going to be a killer movie.
Yep, 100%.
All right, so we're in the camp of we're excited. Yes, this is a good choice.
It's Star Wars. I'm excited.
Yeah, they're clearly they are clearly exerting tons of control.
Yes.
Corporate control over the
it's a lot of money.
Over the franchise.
We've commented many times that. The model that Marvel created with their franchise and their MCU clearly is what Disney is expecting from Lucasfilm.
No question. And,
well, the difference, like if this movie was like bad, it would still probably make $500 million.
It's good.
But if it's good, it'll make
the
$1 billion.
The prequels made $500 million, and they are shit movies.
That's what I'm saying.
I mean, they are shit movies.
Force Awakens made close to $1 billion
just in the U.S. It made $900 million in the U.S. $950 million,
and it's a really good movie. But it's really
it's
good.
Really entertaining. Yes. It is a great Star Wars.
But the
Star
prequels
Wars movie.
Made. I mean, there is a built-in audience that there will you will exceed $450 million domestic.
Right. Yep.
You put out a turd like the prequels,
like episode 1, and episode 2, and most of episode 3.
Yes.
Everything in episode 2 that doesn't include Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Right.
Yeah. Just, anyway. Yeah, okay. Yeah. So that is... J.J. Abrams is now in it. We've seen a lot of... We've seen these big franchise movies, these big franchise universes. I mean, we reported on a couple months ago about how Zack Snyder left post-production of Justice League.
He had family
problems,
I'm
not saying...
Right.
No, but that these properties are so big and so important that they bring in people are proven...
Joss Whedon is finishing Justice League, which
he reshot some of it.
We're talking about it, right? He's cutting scenes out. He's cutting. You were talking to me yesterday about how
he cut Lex Luthor. It seems like Lex Luthor has been cut from Justice League.
Yeah,
what?
He was in it, and he's not in it anymore.
I saw something online about how Lex Luthor might not be in Justice
because
League.
It dilutes the other big bad.
I guess so.
Maybe.
Well,
unless they enlist him to help. You know, there's lots of ways it can go.
You know. After watching the rated R version, the extended cut version of
Batman Superman,
I liked Jesse Eisenberg as Lex Luthor.
Yes.
The original cut doesn't do him justice. You don't get him. He seems manic. He seems all over the place. But
the ultimate cut, he does.
He seems brilliant, and he's thought of every angle.
It's a really good
movie.
He
seems so
laser focused,
far more coherent.
That was my flaw.
The Batman versus Superman Ultimate Edition
makes
and
it
watch
a better
that.
Movie.
There's what
makes
the
it
20
a
or 30 extra minutes.
20 to 30
that adds layers to every character in the movie.
Yeah,
it's
all
so,
of them. All of them. Yep.
And it's rated R, so the violent. I mean, say what you want about the action.
His motivations seem clear. The Lois Lane seems smarter because she's investigating. You see more of her investigation.
Clark Kent stuff is deeper.
Right. You understand
it's
his motivation
and
how he's struggling with. He wants to help people, but everybody's pissed at him, so he's like, "Well, I guess I'll give up."
Or turn my irritation and angst onto
Batman.
Right.
Yeah, he actually has character motivation himself beyond just being, I'm going to stand here
a
stone.
I'm angsty.
Speaking of Justice League, that DC Universe, I rewatched Wonder Woman because it came out on Blu-ray recently.
Yes.
There's a moment, there's one scene I want to talk to you guys about. The lasso around, what's his name, Trevor?
Steve Trevor. Yes.
He resists it, and they say, if you resist it, it causes pain.
Yeah.
Is the lasso of truth a torture device?
Yes,
it is.
Is it torture? Is Wonder Woman torturing people?
Amazon, they don't mess around.
The Amazons do not
mess
around.
They're just okay
with
torture.
They're a warrior society.
And
Pain is weak. No, 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 no. Pain is weakness leaving the body. Pain is weakness leaving the body.
That's their tagline.
It is their tagline.
The lasso just changes everything. The lasso of truth is torturing people.
They don't F around.
They
dude.
Do not.
Dude,
they're getting the truth out of you.
They're getting the truth out of you.
And really, they turn it on you. You're causing pain on yourself.
Just be truthful.
I was watching that.
Tell the truth.
Yeah, tell the truth.
and you won't cause yourself pain.
If you tell the truth, you won't be tortured.
It's self-torture.
Yes.
It is self-torture.
Honestly,
you made the choice.
Lying you made the choice to lie.
Exactly. It's awesome.
I had that moment. I was like, what?
Yeah.
I think it's more he's straining against the compulsion.
Right.
Yeah.
It's more discomfort.
Less pain.
It's more discomfort than pressure. But the way they, if you didn't know any better.
Right.
It's like, that's torture.
That's a tough acting moment, right?
Yes. Right?
I think it's a tough acting moment because you have to portray the inner struggle.
Right.
You're fighting
against a spy, and he's got a lie.
Is it pain? Right. Are you being squeezed? Mm-hmm. What's the pressure? Mm-hmm. How do you act through that scene?
Right, it's an interesting acting challenge. Yeah. No, that movie's great.
I was talking to Dad about that. I watched it with my girls.
It's awesome.
Yes, I was talking to Dad about that,
and he is talking about how he doesn't like the third act, the last fight with Ares, and I was okay with it.
That has been his complaint. He has made that complaint about multiple superhero movies.
It is kind of the standard superhero-y fight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And everything up to before that has not been that.
No.
So there is that. I mean, it's really hard. This is the nature of comic books.
Yeah.
And things based on comic books, they're all a damn cliche.
Yep.
Well, all the fights are the same.
Yep.
And DC learned their lesson.
Exactly.
DC learned their lesson from Superman Returns is you got to have a big superhero battle in your movie.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Otherwise, people are going to be disappointed. You have to have a superhero fight a supervillain.
You got to have
Wonder Woman punch somebody. You got to have Superman punch Doomsday at the end of Batman v Superman.
Yeah.
You can't just have Lex Luthor be the villain.
As cool as
it was to see Superman lifting a continent into space.
This is the exact
point. I love Superman Returns.
I do too. I think
this is this point that we're making. I'm thinking of a tangent that returns to my hatred for the show Gotham. Have you seen the previews that they put the kid in a mask?
Bruce Wayne,
I hate that fucking show.
I've never watched it so much.
I've never watched one episode.
I hate it. I've hated it since we've sat in the panel at Comic-Con.
Yeah, and
they got it so wrong. They don't understand. And this is evidence of why they are stupid and that show is fucking ridiculous.
I watched the first episode and that's where I was like,
I gave it a couple.
That's about it.
It just wasn't it.
Ben McKenzie
as Jim Gordon is good. He's solid.
How many seasons have they done now? It's probably like
their fourth or fifth season.
Fourth or fifth?
Like, I have friends who love that show who watch it every single week.
Well,
I don't get it. I don't know. Anyway.
Sorry, that was all over the place.
So let's do some scene because this past weekend, Star Trek Discovery dropped.
Yes,
the first episode was on live television. I don't own live television, so I didn't watch it there.
Mm.
But the first two episodes are online. Andrew and I both watched them online.
I downloaded CBS All Access.
All Access.
I paid the damn.
$6.
I will probably renew it and pay the.
He's on a free week.
Because much like they have gone different than Netflix in terms of dropping the entire season in one day.
Yeah.
I think Discovery is going to be 12 or 13 episodes. They are going to drop one episode a week. Mm. So you have to pay for at least two or three months.
It's 12 episodes, right?
Something like that.
Yeah.
So they're blending old model and new model.
So it's a paid subscription, but they only release content once a week.
How do you think this is going to work for them?
I don't know.
It got me to subscribe.
It's going to work brilliantly for them because nobody has signed up for CBS All Access, and now there will be hundreds of thousands of people who do.
Hundreds of thousands.
Yes.
Yeah.
You think it'll go that far?
Yes. Like, there are enough Star Trek fans craving a Star Trek show that
I'm one of them.
I will too. I haven't signed up. I haven't seen episode two. I have my reservations about episode one.
So do I.
But I'm gonna pay it.
Tell me about your reservations.
Well, let's give a primer about the show first. For all of you people who don't know, there, Star Trek Discovery is set in the universe in the
it's 10 years Kirk before and Spock Kirk universe. And Spock.
10 years before they begin their 5-year mission
right.
on
older,
the Enterprise.
Older ships.
The original
no,
series.
There's no holodecks. There's no.
It's set 100 years forward.
Right,
Next Generation.
Right. It's definitely.
Except it doesn't look like
it
it's
doesn't
earlier.
But
yeah. They're taking liberties.
The show starts to tell the story.
And there's
of
a
the,
Spock has a half brother,
half
sister.
Yeah.
That was
sister.
Never mentioned.
Adopted sister.
Yeah,
that's
a little
ever.
Weird. They're trying to connect the dots a little bit.
I understand, but they know the universe. Mm-hmm. They know the fan base.
Yeah.
They know all these things, and still they
they're
introduce
just, they're
a
just
half
making
sister.
Shit up. They're just like
adopted sister. She's not half Vulcan.
I don't understand it.
The main character,
yeah,
Michael Burnham, is the first officer on the Star on the USS
Senju.
Shenju. She
yes.
was raised by Sarek, the Vulcan ambassador to Earth, who
Spock's
is Spock's
she's,
father.
She's his, yeah, she's his ward.
And apparently knows Spock, was raised with him, raised on Vulcan, and now is a human raised in the Vulcan
we'll,
way of life.
Do you think we'll see Spock in this show?
I hope not.
Because it's not in the alternative J.J. Abrams timeline.
It's not.
No. I read that.
Yeah, it's
this
not.
This is main timeline.
Spock's prime.
Prime.
This is prime timeline.
So, no.
This
will
is
not
the Kelvin timeline of the movies.
Man.
Or... I mean, they are going to have to go down this path of they're going to cast somebody else to play him.
Will Quinto appear?
Will Zachary Quinto
no.
be in Star Trek Discovery?
Maybe.
Dude, that would be the biggest, like, boom, bomb drop. He just shows up.
He loves playing. I mean,
it's possible.
Quinto has, he loves playing Spock.
And he was on television. He was, you know, his movie career isn't blowing
it's
up.
It's very possible that,
you know,
Quinto
will,
could
they
appear
will cast
as Spock.
Him. Yes.
Yeah.
I think that's right.
I'd be okay with it.
He'd do a couple days on the CBS lot.
I'd be okay with it.
I could see it.
I think I'd be okay with it.
So my main reservation, I think, with the show is I don't think I like the main character. Like the Michael Burnham, she's kind of
I forget the actress's name who plays her. She was on The
Walking
Dead.
Great in The Walking Dead.
Yeah,
I disagree in that sense. She was a good actress. Mm. I did not like her character on The Walking Dead at all.
Yeah, well, yeah,
she's
great
a good actress.
She's a good actress.
But like, why is the main character this unemotional, like a human
he was raised
that
on
is
Vulcan.
No. But like, why was the choice made to be this logical, unemotional, like human who's raised by Vulcans? I don't like that choice. I want a person
before
like,
and before
a,
she has does a mutiny. She calls up her dad.
Yeah,
she yes. calls up her dad.
What was with
is that?
Is that
to reset the logic switch? What is that?
Mind meld across the galaxy? Yeah. What was that?
That was the episode 2. You're spoiling it for him.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay. But...
Damn you!
I'm... Damn dirty ape.
That is episode... I watched him back to back, so
fine.
That's...
Yeah, it's fun. I am sucked in enough, and I am... Honestly, the best part of the first two episodes for me... were the Klingons. I actually really liked their rendering of the Klingons. I thought that the whole building the religious zealot aspect of it was really cool.
I am with you.
Yes.
That was my favorite part of the first episode were the Klingons and their whole like deeper understanding
standing
and that's information and knowledge they took from Next Generation about how it really explored Klingon culture.
Yep.
And they've taken that lesson and clearly injected it into this.
Klingon culture is one of the most interesting species in Star Trek, I would say. Vulcans, Klingons, like Romulans.
Oh, yeah.
These are all like the really interesting cultures that I've enjoyed since
their
I was
rendering
a kid,
of I mean in the timeline of the show, humans of the Federation have not interacted with Klingons in like 100 years.
Yeah.
They had first contact with them, and now the Klingons have isolated themselves. The main villain, quote-unquote villain, T'Kuvma, has decided that the Klingons need to unite and fight against
all the houses.
All the there's 24 Klingon houses, all the tribes essentially. Mm. He wants to unite all of these houses because the Federation is encroaching, and he makes it a religious purity crusade for the Klingons. Their tagline is "Remain Klingon."
Yeah,
I thought it was great.
Well, they're worried they're gonna try to slowly but surely take
the creeping
them over.
Culture of the humans
with
or whatever.
Peace.
Yes.
The Vulcans don't like peace, or
the Klingons
don't like
peace
because at the heart of the Federation idea is different species mingling,
right.
interacting,
and there's this whole purity. We got to stay pure. Well,
Takuvma even talks about it. He says the line, he interacts with the captain played by Michelle Yeoh, who is great.
She was so good.
She's so good in the first couple episodes. She sends a message to Takuvma, and her end of the message is, and Takuvma makes the comment, "Here comes her lie," or "Here comes the lie." She always says, "We always come in peace." Mm. For Klingons, peace is a lie. War is the preferable way to exist. Conflict between people is... brings out the strength in people and brings purity. So that's what Takuvma wants. It's very deep and really interesting for me to see that. And they do long, long scenes in Klingon with subtitles. I loved it, actually.
Yeah.
Loved it.
Chris Ryan, a friend of mine who's, speaks a lot of languages, really smart guy, he was loving the Klingon parts and all the language, and he was listening to it, and he's like, "Dude, it was really consistent." And
Klingon as a written language has existed for a while. Like they created it, top to bottom, how the language works.
They have people who know Klingon.
Yes,
who speak it. Yeah,
it's a spoken language in the world.
It's crazy.
So weird.
That's crazy.
It's like the Dothraki language.
On our scale of geekness,
that's level five.
That's level six.
That is beyond...
that's unmeasurable.
If you could speak Klingon or Elvish, please email the show.
Or Dothraki.
Please email the show.
Please tell us.
You are level six.
There is no level six.
Mad
level
respect.
Five.
Mad respect.
All right.
Well,
level five is sweatpants.
Beards
and sweatpants.
I mean, I'm sitting with two bearded men right now, so.
Because we're awesome.
Awesome. Awesome beards.
Any other thoughts about Star Trek Discovery?
I paid my subscription.
I will be paying. I will be watching.
Yep.
It's pretty cool.
Despite my misgivings about the main character.
I definitely have misgivings.
Season one of Next Generation is unwatchable. I love that show more than any other show, I think.
So
I will go along with
that. You
know
what you need to... Okay, there's a video... There's a channel on YouTube that does honest trailers.
I've seen that.
Okay, have you seen the honest trailer for Star Trek The Next Generation?
No.
You gotta watch it. It's 8 minutes long. It's so funny.
Really?
But it's done with love. Like, they understand
all of the greatness of the show
and all of the kind of the fallbacks of the show, too.
Yeah.
You gotta watch this Star Trek Next Generation.
Season one is painful.
Yes,
And honestly, this is my favorite form of... I think I've said this on the show before, but Star Trek belongs on television.
It belongs
episodic.
Yes.
You got to get to know the characters better.
Yep.
I agree.
The conflicts are more nuanced than just a 2-hour long ship battle.
Action movie.
It's harder to do.
Yeah.
Right, it's harder to do. This show is a little action-y so far, but I'm hoping that it'll, be...
Well, in the first, science-y. We can say, well, this isn't a, I'm not spoiling anything, because in the first two episodes, we don't even meet Jason Isaacs, who's the captain of the Discovery.
Right.
So.
We haven't even been.
There's so much more show that's coming.
There's no Jason Isaacs, and there's no, the ship that is called Discovery.
We haven't seen it. It's Michael Burnham's story and how she gets pulled into all of these other different ways.
Do you think there's going to be a flash forward?
I think there's going to be a time jump.
Yeah.
She's going to be in jail for a little bit. I suspect
this is in the past. And sometime during season one, we're going to jump forward 5 years.
There could be a time jump. I think it's good. That's a good assertion.
I just noticed your shirt. The
Commonwealth of Independent Planets.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
We're Firefly household.
Acquired at a Comic-Con.
Yep.
Andrew's wearing a
Captain America shirt.
Yeah, it's great.
We wear it, honestly.
Yep, yes. Every day.
Yep.
What do you guys have any other individual scene you'd like to discuss?
Yes.
Go for it.
What do you got?
Today I watched Blade Runner, the final cut.
In preparation of
Blade Runner 2049,
that's coming out in a week.
Which is legitimately getting fantastic reviews.
That's called a
sci-fi masterpiece.
So anyway, my daughter Kristen has never seen it. Much to my failure, she's never seen the original.
Oh,
so definitely a failure of fatherhood.
The final cut does not have Harrison Ford's terrible voiceover.
No voiceover.
Yeah.
And none of that bullshit drive in the seaside at the end.
Really?
Gone. Yep.
Okay.
So it's a dramatically better movie.
Okay.
Yes.
Because I've only seen the theatrical cut.
We watched the final cut today.
You've never seen
together.
Even the director's cut, Andrew?
I don't think so.
Wow.
The director's cut cuts out the voiceover, too.
Wow.
Yeah, the only version I've seen is the Harrison Ford with the voiceover.
Oh, it's a
different movie.
It's a different and worse movie.
Yeah.
Anyway, we watched that today, and I was definitely reminded it is a masterpiece of sci-fi
cinema. It's a masterpiece. It holds up too. It looks great.
It is. Yep. It looks phenomenal.
I saw the director's cut at a theater in Portland that was like reshowing I was impressed with the sound quality and how good it looked, and I was like, "Whoa,
this is 82.
1982.
And it
and
still
then
looked
2007, great. 2008 is when they did the final cut.
Yeah.
When he did the final cut. So, and they used all the original masters of the film and everything.
I gotta watch that.
It looks fantastic in HD.
I think I've seen the final cut.
Our year-end episode, when we recorded in the end of December, we talked about what did we look most forward to coming this year. One of my answers was Blade Runner 2049. I can't wait for it. I'm going to go Thursday night.
We're a week away. We got to talk about that for sure next episode.
We are absolutely going.
We will all have it seen.
Yes.
Go see Blade Runner.
What did Kristen think of this show?
Yeah.
She was puzzled by it.
Well, she's a deep thinker. She chews on stuff.
And she thought it was really good, but it takes a while to sort of grapple with... What are they trying to say? What is the point of that scene?
Yeah.
What is happening?
It's not really like handed to you.
No.
That movie is very nuanced.
She liked it. I think she was pondering sort of what was going on, and we own it now, so she will watch it again.
How did you have it?
Amazon Video on Xbox.
Okay.
Oh, cool.
Yep.
Bought it. Digital version. Okay.
It's on sale actually.
You
need to pull that trigger.
What other scene? Do you have another scene, Andrew?
I'm trying to think. I mean, Outlander is back on.
Do you still watch that?
I still watch it. I'm still into it.
You like it?
I actually went to the Diana Gabaldon, who's the writer of the books. She lives in Scottsdale.
Oh.
She came to Phoenix Comic Con, and I went to her panel with a couple of my friends who are bigger fans of the show than I am. And they've read some of the books. I tried to read the first book. It just didn't suck me in. Mm. I like the show. The main characters are interesting. It's a little soap opera-y right now.
Mm.
But I'm entertained. I hope last year told a long kind of war story, which was kind of interesting. And then the main characters were split up by time travel. It's a time travel show.
Yeah.
So getting them back together is kind of the point of this season. Kind of discovering that. Discovering how to be together. So, it's good. There's romantic aspects to it, and there's fun kind of adventure aspects to it as well. And it's shot in the Highlands of Scotland, which looks great.
So it's beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the music's by Bear
McCreary.
And he's awesome.
He's great.
Battlestar
Galactica.
Galactica.
He did the
fame.
Theme.
Ronald D. Moore is the main.
He's the main guy.
Yeah,
he's
right?
That's what initially got me interested in Ronald D. Moore and his cachet with Battlestar Galactica.
There's some Battlestar overlap for that. Sure.
Speaking of, this just comes out of left field. Sci-Fi is celebrating their 25th anniversary, the Sci-Fi Channel.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And recently they did a Battlestar Galactica marathon.
I saw that, yes.
And
oh
I landed on an episode in season one.
Which one?
The episode where it's the humanity has the fuel crisis, and they discover the Cylon base that is refining the fuel they need for the ships,
yeah.
And they plan the attack
on
the base.
That's so
and
cool.
And Apollo has to pull off, like, the crazy, you know, Top Gun maneuvers to, like, pull off this attack. I watched the whole thing. It was so freaking good.
Dude, that show's awesome.
So good. It got Baltar and his kind of manicness because his brain is invaded by a freaking Cylon. And he's trying to, like, am I a double agent? Why am I giving information? Am I going to get killed? Am I going to this? And then you got, I mean, Adama, who is just the most legit commander in the history of TV. And Mary McConnell is the president, and she's trying to... In season one, she is still trying to figure out what she's doing and who she is. And how does she... You know, how has she become the president of the 12 colonies
Suddenly she's in charge of all the remaining humans.
And keeping everybody
that's
alive.
Crazy.
And how, you know, the interaction
she's
there.
She's got to step up.
It's great.
And I mean, for all the wonderful episodes in season one of Battlestar Galactica, there's just as many episodes where just like, what are they trying to do here?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't... Mm-hmm. They were still trying to find their way. That episode in season one.
Season two is amazing.
Season two and season three are ridiculous.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. But that episode in season one is by far one of the best.
I need to do a rewatch of that.
Yeah, yes. For real.
From the beginning.
Didn't you do... Ronald D. Moore had a podcast where he would comment on every episode or something.
Oh.
He would do... Yes, he would... He would say what scotch he was drinking.
Yeah.
He would be smoking a cigarette, and he would do a commentary on every episode.
That's awesome.
That's... So cool.
Yep.
Yeah.
I'm going to rewatch and re-listen.
That is a great idea.
It's
on the internet.
Yeah.
So I think he did every episode.
That's crazy.
I love that.
But anyway, I caught that episode of Battlestar, and I hadn't seen it since it probably re-aired. Maybe in one rewatching, so it's probably been years since
I saw
it. And it was just a great episode of sci-fi TV.
I need to
just great.
I need to do a rewatch on that.
Yeah. So yeah, that was mine.
Cool.
Have we podcast since the Game of Thrones finale?
Yeah, we talked about it. Yeah,
yeah. It's hard
episode
to
79.
Yeah.
We went.
It's been a while.
30 minutes. Yeah, it's been 3 weeks.
It's been 3 weeks. I did go see the movie It, Stephen King's It.
Yeah.
Probably one of the scariest movies I've seen in a while.
Okay.
Really well made. I really like that movie a lot. But it is. It is violent, and it is scary, so don't take the kids like the person that was in the theater with me
did. Yeah, you texted us. You're like, there's an 8-year-old in this theater right now.
8-year-old.
Is it rated R?
It's very rated R.
Why would you bring an 8-year-old to a rated R? It's a parenting choice.
Yes.
Sorry.
Right.
I shouldn't comment on anybody's parenting.
You have no children.
I don't.
So, yes.
I can't comment. But
like, that little girl is never going to fall asleep again. Like
never sleeping
easily.
Again.
Never
she,
easily.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, she's just going to be awake for the rest of her life.
Pennywise is going to be crawling in bed with her every night.
It is really well made, really interesting, very scary, very and. Whew.
I want to see it.
One of the main actors from Stranger Things is in it. It feels very Stranger Things. I was even saying this to you this morning.
Well,
Chris.
Most of Stranger Things is an homage to stuff like that.
It's very much. Like, I feel like this is like Stranger Things, like dialed to 11.
Mm.
This is more violent, more scary, and it's even got one of the main actors in it, and he's great in it.
Yeah.
The kids are really good.
I've heard that particularly the ensemble group of kids in the movie are very good.
They're very good.
Yeah.
There's a couple of narrative choices that I feel like they cut some stuff out. You could tell.
Mm-hmm.
I could tell they were missing some things. Like, all these kids are seeing Pennywise, but they're not saying anything to each other or talking to their parents about it. Like even just show the scene of, like, hey, Dad, I saw something. I'm freaked out. And them not believing the kid. Like, they just needed that one scene, and it's not in there.
Okay.
But that's it. I mean, I guess they kept plugging through. God,
well,
this movie's awesome.
They've already greenlit the second one. They're going to make an It Part 2.
It scared the shit out of me.
All right.
Like, and I'm not easily frightened.
Good.
You know, I think...
Are you a scary movie guy, Christopher?
I am. I pick and choose. I'm not a...
Gore.
Torture porn scary guy.
Yeah.
Really? I've never seen a Saw movie.
I hate all of them. Yeah. I saw the first two.
Not attracted to
them. There was a trailer for a new... Jigsaw movie coming out in October.
I've seen that trailer. Yeah, I have no interest.
I'm over it.
But I like
who goes to those?
I like psychological.
Yeah,
you know, supernatural sort
this,
of...
This is a creature. Yeah, yeah. This is creature, and the makeup is so good, and the special effects are really good. I wouldn't be surprised if they are nominated for, like best makeup. Because it looks great.
That's awesome.
He looks really good. And there's, like, some other creatures that are, like, practical effects stuff that I was like, wow, this... I mean,
cool.
Wow.
That's so great. That's...
I really enjoyed it. So if you like scary movies, go see it.
Yeah,
that was awesome.
It sounds like it's a scary movie.
It is definitely scary.
I will, for scene, I will also say that I rented The Mummy.
The Tom Cruise Mummy? Tell me what you thought of that.
I've never seen it.
But I saw it.
Oh, here we go.
Yeah, it just caught my eye, and, you know, for $5, I decided, okay, yeah. I never saw that in the theater.
Yeah.
I got to check this out just to be able to talk about it. It is a valiant attempt to create a franchise.
They just right out of the gate, they're like, we're going to make a whole franchise of movie monsters.
Yeah.
And they're not going to stop. No. They made enough money.
I don't think they made enough money. It's in question whether or not this movie universe
will
go on. Yes.
Because the monster movies are doing that too. Like the Godzilla movie and the King Kong movie, they're overlapping.
Both of those movies were really good.
Did you see Kong Skull Island?
I did. Yes. I liked it.
Yes,
I thought it was a very interesting
hell of a movie.
Yes.
Dude, I
Brie Larson
so much,
kicks ass.
Dude, it's so much
it
fun.
It looks so good.
And
Kong's awesome.
Tom Hiddleston was awesome.
Yes, that's a great movie. Is that out yet?
I think it's on DVD.
I need
I've watched that again.
I would rewatch that again. That movie's fun.
Anyway, just to... I won't syndrome on The Mummy, but the characters are very thin.
Yes.
The story is very thin. The introduction to the universe is incredibly thin.
Mm.
The best part of the movie, which even gets short shrift because it's called The Mummy, is The Mummy.
Yeah.
Great, interesting character who doesn't do a damn thing.
Well, the actress in place for Sophia Boutella.
She's great.
She's great in
almost God,
everything.
Her set pieces are boring.
Oh, wow.
And it's it's such a bummer.
That's a bummer.
So, yeah.
It's weak. It's weak sauce.
Yeah.
Oh, too bad.
Yeah.
I mean, I think I'll still probably rent it at some point.
It's sad, too, because I like Tom Cruise.
We were just watching Oblivion earlier this morning. That movie's good.
Dude,
a lot of shots of her just walking menacingly.
Yeah.
I'm thinking back on this movie. There's a lot of shit. She's just walking menacingly.
I'll do a supercut of her walking menacingly.
You really should, because it's like half the fucking movie.
That's like did you ever hear the joke about Quentin Tarantino? He shoots so much of his actor's feet that he could cut together like solid movies of just shots of feet and then voiceovers.
Jeez.
Maybe it's just there's a whole version out there of The Mummy just walking in and out of scene.
There is that. There is a movie
And they try to like pigeonhole like Dr. Jekyll in there. And I
appreciate all of that.
Yeah.
If it's fleshed out and interesting and connected
and
interwoven.
Everybody wants a damn franchise.
It was lame.
Sometimes just
it
make a
lame.
Good movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just make
I mean,
good
the,
movie.
It was predictable and boring.
And there are... No spoiler. I'm going to spoil this. The fact that you know that you're living with this, I can change into Mr. Hyde, and you don't have an automatic drip system or some kind of an injectable thing that is connected to you at all times, where it's always feeding you the drugs that he seemed to have to inject in order to prevent himself from changing into Mr. Hyde.
Yeah.
It's fucking ridiculous.
Yeah, that's silly.
It's ridiculous.
Modern.
I'm fumbling with the diabetics have injectable stuff.
There's
that's
insulin
they
pumps.
Where? Are you serious?
I have a friend who's a type 1 diabetic.
So
she has a pump
stupid.
On her back.
That the fact that that doesn't it, that that's not controlled.
Yeah.
But then as part of the storytelling, you say that gets damaged.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or
the
mummy crushes it.
Yeah.
Or something happens during a fight where you're trying to be the leader and there's disruption in the serum that keeps you from transforming. That is a better story than the fumbling with the stupid needle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The stupid like in 1980s.
Like he's got 1930s it's not even
needle.
It's not even set up prep to inject. He's got to put the cartridges in.
Oh, God.
He's got to assemble it. Yeah, right. It's in a case.
and then you've got to take one piece out, and then there's like six, and it's got to shove it in, and then inject it.
Do actors?
So stupid.
You would. Russell Crowe is an accomplished actor.
Money, dude. Money.
You think it's just money?
Of course, because it's a franchise, and they're going to be part of it.
They signed a contract like you're going to be Dr. Jekyll. This is the thing. We're going to give you like a 5-minute,
eight movie franchise.
This is going to be like 8 movies. You're going to have a part for the next.
Exactly.
15 years.
Yeah. Russell Crowe will be 70 in 15 years.
20 million a year.
Yeah, this is going to pay for...
Exactly.
You're never going to have to do another movie.
He already owns a ranch in Australia.
Yeah, but he can do his indie movies for the rest of his life because he will be cashing the Dark Universe checks.
All right.
Well, we'll see.
That was the plan.
But anyway, I
watched that.
Okay.
Excellent.
Excellent.
Don't go see that. Go watch Kong Skull Island.
Yes.
Red. Who's got some red?
I got some red.
Yeah.
I recently downloaded and listened to, because you guys are Audible guys, I'm getting on the train.
Good.
American Assassin by Vince Flynn.
Yes.
Yes.
Those books are great.
In anticipation, the movie came out, which I haven't seen yet. It got kind of mixed reviews.
I guess that should be part of my scene. I saw that.
Oh, you did?
What'd you think of that?
It's a... B grade Jason Bourne.
B grade.
Yep.
I mean, because most of the Bourne movies are A grade.
Not
action
bad.
Movies.
Bad, but not good.
It's a B grade Jason Bourne.
What's the weakest link? Give us the weakest part. Why is it B?
A lot of American Assassin goes deeply into his motivations.
Yes.
Who he is as a person.
Very much so.
A lot of training.
Yep.
Yeah.
A lot of character development stuff that all of which is left out of the movie.
That's
really?
Bummer. That's a bummer.
Yep.
They went straight to changed. Because the trailer looks like that's the whole movie. His girlfriend gets shot on the beach, he starts training himself.
Minimal training montage, then he's on a mission.
Boring.
Wow.
Yep.
The book.
That should be like the majority of the movie to me.
The
first half of the book is him in training.
Yes.
And the second half is him kind of his first initial forays into the field.
Yes.
And how he, you know, they spend a lot of time talking about how he's an unconventional choice, but he's got a lot of natural talent.
Right.
He's motivated.
Right.
And he also has a different kind of skill set that they haven't really kind of fostered before, and whether or not he's right.
What's
for
the skill set that he has?
He's not a reluctant. Like Jason Bourne is a reluctant killer.
He is fully committed to.
He is 100%.
I want
to smoke
away.
All you fools.
Yeah. I want to find.
Oh, yeah.
I want to find evil
so
people
you're,
and
you're
kill them.
The books are good, is what you're saying.
The first book, American Assassin, which I listened
tell a good
to.
Tale.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Vince Flynn's. I was going to well written. You said his language is very economical. It's very sparse. His pacing is perfect for this kind of world. You have straightforward, intelligent, pragmatic people, and that is exactly what his writing is like. So you have those characters and you have the inner monologue of those characters, and it fits perfectly for how the book is written, how Vince Flynn writes it.
That series of books is best when it's a character study.
Mm-hmm.
When it's farther and farther in, it paints the world in very, shall I say, simple terms.
Yes.
And very black and white.
Yes.
And not a whole lot of nuance.
No.
In that series, and the author's perspective, he's dead now, but having seen his interviews and other commentary by him, very straightforward, very kill them all, let God sort them out kind of an approach.
Whoa.
Yeah, he's...
There's no moral ambiguity to this story
not
at all.
Really.
Like, really,
not in this character.
Because
it deals a little.
Because America, I feel like the CIA is like apprehend people. That's how I always envisioned it. And like the idea of having an American assassin, like
part of the reason why I give it a B grade because it's
there's no
the action is pretty good.
Yeah,
the character is interesting.
Yeah,
but. There's not a whole lot of nuance.
There's not a whole lot of nuance in the book.
I feel there isn't. I feel like that, like, up until the moment where he actually kills somebody, he should be like gung-ho, and then he kills somebody, and then he
there's
starts
very
to really
little of
see
that.
The,
there's no hand-wringing.
Like,
no hand-wringing.
No hand-wringing. He is like...
Bad people, they need to die.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
It deals a little bit with...
It's a different approach.
It is.
Right?
Yep.
Just... just kill.
It deals a little bit with like how violence can affect your perspective. Like doing violence can affect your perspective on your life.
Not a whole lot of examination of that.
Yeah. No,
they show
it's just
it.
It's an action movie. It's an action movie.
Pretty
book.
Much.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I like the book. I will continue to read and download.
The series is entertaining.
Yeah,
the book series. The book series is
entertaining. It's very. I mean, in terms of an espionage kind of thriller, it's it's brain candy. There's not a lot of There's not a lot of depth. I mean, there are writers out there who do espionage.
Rap is a badass who does badass stuff. Yeah. I mean, it's fun to read just for that.
Right.
He is a badass.
Rap, the main character.
He is the most well trained, best at what he does.
And totally committed.
And very committed and awesome at it.
Yep.
it's entertaining.
It is entertaining.
Okay, that's cool.
So yeah, I'll read the next book.
Be on the
there's
movie.
There's like 15 of them or something.
And yes. A on the book, you would say.
I've listened to them up to the point where he's now... It's a difficult choice about whether he goes into the field because he's aging out.
Yeah, no, the book... He's 23.
Yeah.
He's
a
young buck.
And it goes through, and ultimately he becomes, like, this executive type in the counterterrorism world.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. But it's very entertaining, so...
That's awesome.
Dug it.
What read do you have?
I will highlight that I finished Monstrous Volume 2.
Nice. Oh, yeah. Dude, isn't that great?
Oh, my God. My God.
The island was amazing.
It's so good.
I'll come to your house and get it.
The idea
it's
of
in
the
Tucson.
Island was
oh, Tucson.
All
right.
I'll bring
so
it. I'll bring
great.
It's absolutely my favorite book right now.
Awesome. It's so entertaining.
It's so good. The art is incredible.
Marjorie
the
Luke.
Writing is interesting.
And, he's a great writer.
And like
the
I said,
characters, the issues, they're fascinating stuff. I love it. I can't recommend
it
enough.
The world is really coming together in book two.
That was my main issue with world one, the issue of the first arc. It throws you into this world, and it almost seems too complicated for its own good.
I love that about it.
You start to get it better the second.
No, and
second,
absolutely. Right. As I read more and I got it, I'm like, okay, there's the different races and the factions and the histories. It all starts to coalesce
book
and make more
just
sense.
Makes
but
it
when
easier
you dive in,
easier.
I was like, why are there talking animals? Why are there different races? Why is she inhabited? Why is
she
this?
Explains
why is
all
that?
Of that?
When it gets there, it's great.
Yeah,
yeah. It just took
so
book two actually has like
a
chart.
It's a steep climb. Yes,
the book two has a chart that shows like the gods and how they've bred with humans and created like the lower like the low what are they called
arcanics.
And then like the witches, the human response to the arcanics and like how they are intertwined and how the cat race is involved. Super interesting.
Super
it's
cool.
Very
super
cool. Deep and very
that.
Rich.
I
like it.
Yeah, yeah
I need
yeah.
to read volume 2.
I will bring it back up.
Good.
All right.
So that's it. I continue to read Descender Volume 2. I actually brought it with me to finish it. I'm close to finishing. So good. That book is amazing too. Really beautiful art, cool story, cool world. It's kind of I think I like it because it's kind of like Battlestar and it has these like interesting characters and weird world and like there's a lot of questions that are
all right.
unanswered that I like. And the art is amazing. So
yeah,
I'll keep reading that. And
but cool.
how far are you into that?
I just started volume 3.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. It's still good. You're still liking it.
I love it. Yeah.
Yeah, man. That's awesome. But like you said, like Monstrous is one of the best books.
Yep.
Out right now. I can't wait for volume 3.
I think it got nominated for some kind of
it
award
should.
Recently.
Dude, it's
or won some kind of it's ongoing
fantastic.
Award.
It's worthy of a show.
Right. It could be.
I wonder if Marjorie
worthy of a show.
Marjorie Liu, who I follow her on Twitter, I think Chris
yep,
does
I
too.
Do too yeah.
She's a very,
really
very
great.
Interesting
really great.
Person on Twitter.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I wonder if she would surrender creative control like that
no
and
way.
Let somebody else. That's what I'm saying. Whether or not she would let somebody make a TV show.
Yeah.
Like, she has complete creative control
mm-hmm.
over
mm-hmm.
her comic. The artist that she has, she loves the artist that she
yeah,
works
the art,
with.
Yeah, that art style is.
Why
I
would
just
she surrender control?
I love
and money
so
is the
much.
Only reason.
Dude, the art style is so detailed, and like there's panels that you look at, and you're like, how the hell did this, how did this not take like a day to draw
yeah.
just
sure,
one
I'm
panel?
Sure it did.
It might
right?
have
because
yeah.
She draws, like, every little feather on her dress.
It's
like,
very,
The style of some of this armor is, like, this peacock feather, like, armor.
So amazing.
And each feather is drawn.
It's so beautiful.
Each individual. Yep. It's beautiful.
Yeah, yeah, it's beautiful.
And you're like, how the hell?
Go pick. There's, what, two volumes out now? Two trade paperbacks?
Two trades, yeah.
Go pick them up, people. Yeah, you will not be disappointed in Monsters.
I can't recommend it
We'll
enough.
Put a link in the show notes.
Yes. Yeah.
Copy that.
Yep, this is an unpaid endorsement.
Yep.
That's it for Red. Let's do some Plague, because we all have
shit. Oh my god, Destiny 2!
Destiny 2!
Destiny 2.
How many hours do you think you've played,
Christopher? I have no idea. It's probably a lot.
It dropped 3 weeks ago. We're on, like, the 20th day.
Yeah. 60?
60 hours?
At least.
Well, do you think you played...
Christopher has three level 20 characters.
I do.
I only have one. I probably paid 30 hours, I think.
I have just got my second character to level 20. I have a warlock and I have a hunter. All the things I loved about Destiny 1 are there. All the things that I hated about Destiny 1, they fixed.
Yeah.
The story is long and interesting
and
compelling.
Is great.
The
villain
Destiny
is compelling.
Destiny 1's story was weak.
Muddled.
And short. And
vanilla Destiny.
Destiny 1, like, when you got to 20, there wasn't a lot to do. You could burn through stuff. There's a ton to do.
Ton
of stuff that you can do.
In Destiny 2 now.
Tons of stuff in Destiny 2. And we haven't even got, like, that...
I haven't even run all the strikes yet. There's five strikes.
There's a
and
lot
I haven't
of,
run them all
the
yet.
The strikes are fun. My clan is just starting to get into the raid. We've done a few encounters, but we haven't
beaten
like
the raid
I
yet.
Love it. It's so hard and awesome, and the armor's cool. The guns are fun. The world is interesting. There's tons of ships. There's tons of guns. I've gotten guns like 3 weeks later that I don't have. Like you'll run a crucible and you'll get a gun and you'll be like, well, this gun is awesome,
brand new.
Well, right,
and you'll discover that guns you got at the beginning were awesome and you shouldn't have sharded them because they were such low light. I had
the origin story, didn't you?
Oh my god.
Yeah, you're talking about
the best.
What did you have?
I had the origin story, which is probably top three auto rifles, auto rifles in the game.
Everybody's saying,
and I sharded it.
Origin story and what was that
Muriel's
other one?
Muriel's gift.
That's energy.
Dude, that one,
I have that.
That one
it
is,
melts.
People love that
gun.
Yeah,
it melts.
People love that gun and yeah, I don't know if I have it. I
had one and I sharded it.
The Uriel's gift is so awesome.
I had a Uriel's gift and I sharded
it. See, I have been very smart about this.
You've been saving everything?
In the beginning, you want to shard the stuff you're not using, but I knew, hold on to the first
you're right.
Shard the second one
that
you get. And it sucked in the beginning because I didn't have a lot of shards, but now I have all those guns.
I
play against people
shards
with Crucible.
Shards is a currency in the game.
You shard the gun, and then you can use that currency to buy other weapons or buy stuff from Xur. Xur is out this weekend. I haven't even gone to see
Xur
him.
Xur is now fun again. In Destiny 1, towards the end of the... in the second expansion, they introduced a buff that you could put on yourself where you had a better chance of getting exotics.
Yeah.
And they made Xur irrelevant. Now, Xur coming back and selling his exotic wares is now like a fun, anticipated thing.
Right.
What is Xur going to bring to us today?
Right.
And that is another fun thing.
You know what I will... my one thing that I think they will add eventually, and they should... In Destiny 1, from Xur, you could purchase just an engram, like roll the dice.
Yes.
And I wish they would do that here. Because if you're sitting on a lot of shards and you don't like the four that he has and you want to burn through all your shards and just roll the dice a few times,
I think when they get deeper, they'll introduce that aspect again.
Yeah.
They want to
keep people playing.
Yeah.
Because if you just roll the dice and got four exotics, then...
No, they want people to play the game.
Yeah.
They'll introduce that down the road.
Maybe in the first or second
expansion. It makes sense. I just... As a... Like a... A quality
of
life.
There's that medallion. There's the medallion thing that improves your chance of getting... Right?
I've gotten a lot of... I've gotten at least... I've gotten at least four exotics from public events. Mm. At least four.
I've gotten one.
I don't know
two.
About four. But
I've gotten two. I've gotten one or two off of boxes off of heroic events,
yeah.
I think.
I've got,
I think I've gotten two.
I got my hard light off an exotic from a, which I
the
love.
The hard light is awesome.
It's so fun.
What you use the, Mitta, though.
I wish I had a primary auto rifle. I'm actually using a primary hand cannon right now, a fast fire cannon. Mm. And then I've got either my Uriel's Gift or my hard light. And then I either have my shock and awe fusion rifle, or I use the Wardlift coil because that just melts public events, man. It just smokes people.
Have either of you gotten the Rat King? That's a quest exotic that you can get too.
He had the quest.
I had the quest, and
it's on Titan.
It wouldn't proceed, and so I dismissed it.
Oh no!
And there's no way to get it back. But that was on my first character, I can redo it on. Any of the other two, I haven't done it yet.
So much of the
I've heard the Rat King is cool. It's a good sidearm.
It's good if everybody else in your fire team has it.
Right. I think just for content's sake, I'm going to start doing all the blue quests because the blue quests lead to exotics.
Yeah.
So
that's how you get the Mita.
You get the Rat King. What's the other one that you?
We should do the Rat King together because I think what hung me up is that. There, I was on the patrol step for the Rat King thing, and I wasn't getting any credit.
Because other people need to have it.
And I think you have to do those patrols when other people are also at that step in the quest.
It
forces that cooperative
fire team
play.
Well, the gun is kind of... The gun that you get eventually...
Doesn't it give a buff when everyone
perk.
Uses
yeah,
when
it's
everybody
perk
gets
is,
it, it times the damage.
Yeah.
Right.
For however yes. many people in your fire team.
Have it,
so
yeah.
I haven't seen... anyone have it, so I don't know what kind of damage it increases.
Yeah, I don't know.
We need to give that a try.
But that's, I mean,
I'll
that's
do it.
Huge.
I'll do it on my other two.
Sure.
Yeah.
One
yeah
I
the,
haven't even
one
leveled
the other
I'll,
two.
I'll do it.
We should
I haven't leveled an alt yet.
One
so.
Night this week, we should do that.
Sure.
Yeah, all right. Yeah. I'm down.
Well, when he's got a,
when
he doesn't fly home until Thursday,
when you're back.
We can't
when
play
I'm,
together.
When I'm back, I'm playing on Andrew's Xbox because I'm staying with him on his couch.
until Mother decides you need to move over there.
Until my parents decide that I need to go live in their
spend
condo
more
with them.
Time with them.
More time with the parents. Yeah. That's
until
why
mom
I'm here.
insists that...
You know, it's just awesome to be here. It's, it's Phoenix is awesome. It's good to see you
it's
guys.
It's just hot today.
It's,
it is warm
you know,
today.
It is 97. I brought the heat with me.
Seriously?
Chris and I hiked Paestoa Peak this morning.
Yes, we did.
Yeah.
I went to a football game, a flag football game for my nephew. It's just awesome.
High school football game last
night. High school
night.
Football
saw
game
last
night.
Last night.
Yeah, my niece Caitlin is...
Yeah, at Borgade, Chris's old school. Yeah,
it's just a fun time. And recording this with you guys has been great. 80
awesome.
Episodes, boys.
80 episodes.
Andrew.
Yes.
What trivia do you have
do
for
we
us?
Have any
more, any more
anything
played?
Anything else to say about Destiny 2?
Yeah, do you have more?
No.
We covered a lot.
We will talk about it a lot.
We'll talk about it a lot.
The clan, let's mention the clan.
That's our clan.
We're in our clan. We're in Patrick's clan. We started a Brothers Geek clan, but I disbanded it because the clan system is for real, and his clan is much more advanced.
My clan is taking off. We got more members. Our clan is Beast Reality. So if you want to join our clan on Xbox
message
One,
Patrick.
Send Washburn300 a message
on Xbox.
And I
will
do
you
it.
Can link PS, the PlayStation Network, and
if you,
Xbox
right.
can all join
most
the clan.
Most of us are on Xbox One, but we do have one player on PS.
My buddy
PSN,
Trey.
So if you want to play on PS Network, you can do that too.
Yep.
That's awesome, but we're
good time.
Our clan is up to level 3.
Yep.
We're awesome.
We're charging.
Trivia, Andrew.
Trivia. All right, this goes well with our discussion earlier. I'm so glad that it worked out like this.
Okay.
So, Blade Runner 2049 is coming out this next week. We are very excited for it. We'll all see it opening weekend, I assume.
Mm-hmm.
The original Blade Runner, which was released in 1982.
Mm.
There have been multiple different versions. The part of the lore of this film is the fact that there have been multiple different versions that tell different nuances of the story.
Yes.
Here's your question. How many, and this is generally accepted, cuts of Blade Runner exist?
8.
Are there 8?
This is according to Wikipedia.
That seems like a lot. I'm gonna guess five because like I know at least four.
Okay.
I know at least
eight
four, but
and five.
Okay.
And which one is the longest?
I'm gonna say director's cut. I'm gonna say director's cut.
Whoa.
Chris just watched the final cut today. He's trying to do the math in his head.
Yeah, how long's the how long's the final cut?
It's definitely not the longest.
It's like three. It's like two and a half.
No,
right? No. Oh, he
this
cut
is
some gonna stuff
be a surprising
down.
Answer. This is because the research is surprising. Actually,
I think the answer is the theatrical cut
is the longest
Ooh.
Version.
Ooh. Okay.
All right.
I said director's cut.
There are seven.
Mm.
Generally accepted
seven?
Versions of the film. And I will
list them.
List them.
I want to hear this.
Versions of Blade Runner. According to Wikipedia, there is the work print prototype version, which did screenings in
Dude, I didn't
Denver
even
and
think
Dallas
of that.
And also in Los Angeles, San Francisco.
They showed it. They showed it to
that,
people to get
that,
some
in 1982,
responses.
That
Holy
cut
crap.
Is 113 minutes long.
Okay.
There's the San Diego sneak preview version, which very few people saw, apparently.
Oh.
But it was reported on. It had two or three additional scenes that nobody had really seen before or since. Wikipedia doesn't actually even list a length for
this
it.
This is so weird that this movie
so
has so
weird.
Many different
so
cuts.
There is
so
a
weird.
U.S. theatrical release.
Oh, okay.
Which is referred to also as the domestic cut.
Okay.
It's 116 minutes. The international theatrical
well,
release.
I'm already wrong then.
Yep. International theatrical release.
Because the final cut's hour and 57 minutes and change.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. The international theatrical release, also known as the Criterion Edition or the uncut version, that's 117 minutes. Then there's the U.S. broadcast version.
Oh, my God.
Which is the one that we generally see probably on television, which is 114 minutes. There's the Ridley Scott-approved director's cut, which was released in 1992, which is 116 minutes.
Are you saying the final cut is
the
longest?
The final cut is 117 minutes. So there's two cuts that are 117 minutes. It is the longest version.
Wow.
Well, it is released theatrically on October 5th, 2007.
There is an extra scene.
Ridley Scott loves to do this with his movies. He loves to, like, make all these weird cuts and, like, studio gets involved and they want him to make it shorter or whatever. Just let the man make his
Seriously.
Movie. Like, shut up.
Well, the movie that Patrick and I will talk about all day, every day about
Kingdom
how
of Heaven.
The theatrical version is a bad movie.
Yeah.
The long director's cut is a wonderful movie.
Have you seen the... I have not, but have you seen the director's cut of Prometheus? A movie
I have not
hate.
Seen the director's cut
I
of Prometheus.
Hate,
I have not seen the
but
director's cut.
But there is a director's cut
there
version.
Is?
We might have to watch
we
it.
We might. I mean, I like the first version.
I would watch the director's cut because I know Ridley Scott knows how to make a movie.
Yeah, he does.
And then
is
he
that
gets,
out? Is, has that been released?
Yeah, it's on Blu-ray. I've seen it
wow.
for purchase.
Okay,
I need to
Prometheus
get that.
Director's cut.
Prometheus director's cut.
Okay,
I actually like that.
Yeah,
go get it.
All right,
huh. And I will watch
right.
it with you.
That is your. That is the. There are seven
good,
different
good
versions.
Seven. Good. That's
and
very
then,
top.
And then
the longest one, the final cut, is 117 minutes long.
That's amazing.
What was the other one that was 117 minutes
the
long?
The international.
Oh, okay.
The international theatrical cut.
Weird.
It has more violence in the international theatrical cut. More violence.
If you'd like to help Andrew with his trivia, you should email him at kingofthenorth52@gmail.com. You should email the show, brothersgeekpodcast@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter, brothers_geek@twitter.com. You know, Brothers Geek Podcast on Facebook.
And
our website, brothersgeek.com.
In honor of episode 80 and all our Star Wars discussion today, I have to remind you all that Han definitely shot.